Talking Business on Radio Q.
Joining me now is John Argent, Executive Manager, Commercial Portfolio at GIO, which is a part of the Suncorp Group. G'day, John. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Delighted to be here.
Now, you sort of look after SMEs, I think, small businesses mostly. Is there a problem in Australia? Is one of the things you have to do to persuade businesses to be insured in the first place? Is there an underinsurance problem?
Yeah, I mean, normally what triggers insurance is a big event, which makes people think about, well, what if it happened to myself? But more and more people are quite aware of what's happening. They talk to friends, they talk to business consultants, they do some research online, and therefore are quite aware today that there's a value add in insurance.
What sort of insurance do you provide them with? Is it just simply insuring the business or the property or the people? Is it key man risk insurance, the whole range?
It's probably all of those, yeah. Originally, I think sort of small businesses start looking at their assets, their income, their liability, similar to setting up some accounts. But obviously, you know, the first trigger often is when you might want to sign your first lease, or maybe a tradie wants to get on a work site and they're often asked to provide evidence of their public liability cover. So, you know, that's obviously a reminder to take out liability cover.
And what about you, John? You're obviously not a native Australian. You've come from somewhere in England. How did you end up at GIO?
Yeah, I joined insurance in the UK through a company called Rawlinson Alliance. And what I knew was that insurance skills are quite transferable across the globe. So I ventured off to South Africa, mainly dealing with large corporates insured, and then finally took a leap of faith and come across to Australia, where I focus more so on small business, which I find really exciting because of the wide variety of businesses that, you know, they're quite entrepreneurial.
Have you found any big difference in the insurance industry in Australia compared to either England or South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest change is probably the regulatory environment. In Australia, it's you know, well-defined. The markets are very similar, though. You know, the setup of the brokers, the direct insurers, they've all sort of made ground overseas. So I think that's why it was quite easy to transfer over here because of the similarities. Being contract law, there's a lot of precedents. It goes back to, as you know, Lloyd's of London 200 years ago. And to some extent, a lot of that law and that precedence hasn't changed. So easy transferable.
And are the margins here different to elsewhere?
I would say the expectations of the share market and the companies are probably, you know, broader. I think, you know, in Australia, it's a very competitive market. And therefore, you know, you have to be, you have to really have, you know, really good plans to be able to manage that market.
So what advice would you give to small businesses when they're thinking about their insurance? How often should they update their policies?
Look, I think insurance is one of those things that it's not in the forefront of your mind. Small businesses are very busy. And therefore,
how often should a small business person update it? Look, you know, think about it. I mean, is it like once a year job, or
yeah, that's right.
Or do you have to do it more often than that?
No, exactly right. No, at least once a year. There is an annual renewal date on a policy, but what you got to be mindful is that the business grows through the year. You might buy more assets. You might actually even change the type of business you do. We know the twists and turns of trying to make a dollar in small business, so you might find that your exposures actually change, and therefore you should recognise that and update the cover or advise the insurer.
What are the most common mistakes that small business people make in terms of leaving out something?
Yeah, look, I think it's recognising what the risks are. I think most small businesses think they're fairly unique and they're faced with lots of different exposures. You just have to sort of consider that, you know, they all do something different. They might work from either an office or at home. They do different activities. You know, some are involved in manual labour, some provide advice, some sell, they own different assets, and they're all at different life stages of their business. You know, it might be in startup phase or might be quite mature. So I guess it's making sure that you align your risks with your insurance cover and make sure you've got the right cover.
So look, I've got a small business, John. It's called The Constant Investor, which employs, well, half a dozen people, and we're producing a newsletter for investors. What insurance should I haven't got any insurance. I'm an SME. What should I do? Sell me some insurance.
Well, I guess the first thing to do is look at the risks you're exposed to, Alan, and make sure that you've recognised the most critical.
I do have professional indemnity insurance.
Good.
Because I'll get knocked off for telling people the wrong thing to invest
in. Well, that's good. If you give bad advice or you make a mistake, very much so.
Well, I haven't got it with you, though.
Well, as long as you've got it, that's the main thing.
Yeah, that's
right. You're protecting the business.
And should I insure myself as key man? Should a small business person insure the leader of the business?
I think for a sole trader, you're probably the key asset of the business, and therefore, you know, the income is derived from your activity. So if you get injured or ill, certainly you should either consider personal accident insurance or take out an income protection policy with a life company, certainly.
Yeah, well, leaving aside life insurance or, you know, what's it called, total and permanent disability, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, can the business itself take out accident insurance against any of its principals? Is that something you sell?
We do sell personal accident insurance, certainly. But I think more importantly, though, for what people tend to forget, and I think only about 43% of our businesses take out something called business interruption insurance, and this really covers the loss of income following an insured event. I mean, cash flow is obviously at the heart of the business, and if that dries up, it could be in trouble quite quickly. So this is something that we try and promote about, you know, making sure you hold on to your customers by either taking some action around maybe hiring a new, you know, a temporary premises or subcontracting some work in the meantime. So I think business interruption is even more important.
And is business interruption insurance only available after an insured event? Does it have to be connected with an insured event?
It does, yeah. The trigger is actually insured damage. So what we found, though, is that, you know, if a fire occurs at a premises, often a small business might never survive that. So that's why it's very important to look after the income as well.
So does business interruption insurance pay you cash flow for a certain period of time to keep the thing going?
It does, that's right. You nominate a period and it pays up to the time that you get back to your pre-loss trading position. So the danger is always that you might lose market share. So it does pay out until either the sums insured are exhausted or you've reached your maximum indemnity period, which is the amount of time that the cover covers you
And typically, what sort of time are we talking about? In months or what?
Yeah, look, most businesses probably look at it on an annual basis, so 12 months cover. But, you know, the bigger the loss, if I was a property owner, to reinstate a building, as you know today, takes more than a year. So you might want to take 18 months cover out or even 2 years, depending on the complexity of the building.
And is that expensive insurance?
No, it's not at all, no. I think that's probably one of the mysteries of insurance. I think because people don't tend to use it or are aware of it. They don't really understand the value, and it's not expensive at all.
But it's got to be. But you have to be paying premiums on another piece of insurance in order to qualify for that. Is that
you
right?
You do. You take out property damage, so that could be fire, theft, natural perils, natural hazards, such right. as storm losses. Yes.
And yeah, okay. Well, that's very interesting. Very interesting. So, and is your business growing?
It is. Yeah. I think because of the online presence today, there's more small businesses doing research online and happy to self-serve and give it a go. They often ring up our call centres, really with quite a bit of knowledge these days. So, you know, that's fantastic.
Well, that's been great talking to you, and I might have a go at this business interruption insurance. Sounds like a good thing to do.
Absolutely.
Good on you, John. I've been talking to John Argent, who's the Executive Manager Commercial Portfolio at GIO.